Turn to the book of Hebrews this afternoon. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. The title of this message, The Reproach of Christ. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This passage of Scripture mentions the reproach of Christ, an unknown concept among the soft, Bible-ignorant Christians of our day. And if and when the reproach of Christ is mentioned in today's preaching, it's either quickly passed over or else downplayed and soft-pedaled until it's virtually meaningless to the man in the pew. But when it is clearly preached and the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of a person's spiritual understanding, that person will begin to see the meaning and seriousness and importance of the reproach of Christ. In this message on the reproach of Christ, I shall ask and try to answer three questions. First of all, what is the reproach of Christ? Second, what did Moses think of the reproach of Christ? And thirdly, what does the reproach of Christ have to do with you and me? The first question then, what is the reproach of Christ? Verse 26 of our text says that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What is the reproach of Christ that this verse talks about? Well, the word that is translated reproach here means shame, infamy, disgrace. The verb to reproach means to defame a person. The reproach in this and related passages of Scripture is specifically a religious reproach. It is shame, infamy, disgrace for religious reasons. To reproach someone in the sense of this text is to deride and defame that person because of his religious views. Our text speaks of the reproach of Christ. And there are two very important aspects of the reproach of Christ. First, it speaks of the reproach that Jesus Christ himself suffered in this world. It was prophesied in the 69th Psalm and elsewhere that Christ would suffer reproach in this world. Look, for example, at Psalm 69, 7. Psalm 69 and verse 7. Prophesied that Christ would be reproached in this world. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. Now, one other example is seen in Psalm 89, verses 50 and 51. Psalm 89, if you'll turn, verses 50 and 51. And here, David prophesies the shame and disgrace that the Lord Jesus Christ would suffer. Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. And David was speaking of himself, first of all, but prophetically also, he was speaking of Christ there. All of his life, and especially in his ministry, the Lord Jesus suffered reproach. He suffered shame, infamy, and disgrace. He was defamed and derided because of his religious views. Let's think about it. There were the slurs on his birth. You know, they accused him of being illegitimate. The Pharisees strongly implied in John 8:41 that he was conceived outside of wedlock. In John 8:48, the Lord was accused of being demon-possessed. In John 10:20, they said he was mad or insane. In Matthew 27:63, the Lord was called a deceiver. And in Matthew 10:25, they called him Beelzebub, the prince of demons. In Matthew 11:19, they called him a glutton and a winebibber. In Luke 23:5, they accused him of stirring up the people to rebellion. And in Matthew 9:3, they accused him of blasphemy. In connection with the cross, the Lord Jesus suffered great reproach. His crucifiers mocked him, plaiting a crown of thorns and placing it on his head. They placed a reed in his hand and they bowed the knee and they cried out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They scoffed at him. They spit on him. They slapped him in the face. They stripped him naked and hung him up in shame before the world. The cross itself was a reproach, a disgrace to Christ. The cross was the mode of execution for common murderers of the day. Jesus Christ bore his cross and went outside the city to the place of execution. Hebrews 12:2 says that Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes, Jesus Christ, our Lord, suffered great reproach in this world. His apostles also suffered reproach in their ministries. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul is talking about himself and the other apostles. Let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 10. In verse 10, Paul says, "We," that is the apostles, "are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." And then look at verse 13. He goes on to say, "Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." Now the other aspect of the reproach of Christ, and this is the one we'll focus on mostly today, is the reproach that Christians suffer for the sake of Christ. For Christians, the reproach of Christ means reproach for the sake of Christ. The reproach of Christ mentioned in Hebrews 13:13 has this meaning: reproach for the sake of Christ. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 13. Hebrews 13, verse 13. "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." They are the reproaches of Christ because it is for his sake alone that these reproaches are suffered. The cause of this reproach is Christ himself. Those who bear the reproach of Christ in this sense are reproached for professing Christ's name, for preaching and otherwise spreading the gospel, for living according to Christ's righteousness, and for standing for Christ's principles in this world. Christ's people, for these things, suffer the reproach of Christ. This is the meaning of the reproach of Christ in relation to Moses in verse 26 of our text. Look at verse 26 in Hebrews 11. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches for than the treasures in Egypt. So this is reproach for the sake of Christ. What he chose is called here the reproach of Christ. It's the same thing as the afflictions of the people of God in verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. No person, listen to me, no person ever took a stand for Christ without stirring up the scorn and hatred of someone. You know, if you haven't stirred up the scorn and hatred of someone because of your stand for Christ, you may not have a proper stand for Christ. True piety has always been treated this way. Nothing has made people so liable to taunting and reviling and scorn as their love for Jesus Christ. The reproaches of Christ include all the shameful sufferings the faithful have had to endure from the beginning of the world. There are many causes of reproach in this world. We often bring reproach on ourselves because of our own sinful and foolish behavior. That's not the reproach of Christ. It is not every reproach that is the subject in our text here. It is the reproach of Christ, or the reproach for the sake of Christ, that the Scripture is talking about. Well, this brings us to my second question here that I want to try to answer. What did Moses think of the reproach of Christ? Verse 26 of this text gives us the answer. Esteeming or valuing the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I don't know if you've ever really thought about Moses and the position that he was in Egypt before he led the children of Israel out. Most Bible students believe that Moses was actually in line to become the next Pharaoh. The Scriptures tell us that he was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, and that he was trained in all the learning of Egypt. They sent him to school. They trained him in all the social graces and so forth. You can read that in Acts 7:22. Well, if it is true that he was in line to become Pharaoh, Moses was therefore in line to inherit the fame and the power and the pleasure and the wealth of Egypt, because all that went along with being Pharaoh. The wealth of Egypt at this time was vast indeed. I don't know, I've had the privilege of visiting the Cairo Museum in Cairo, Egypt, and they have King Tut's death mask in there. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but it's solid gold. There's no telling how many hundreds of thousands that's worth today. I mean, it goes around his head like this and down to here. Solid gold. Nothing. Just a death mask in Egypt. This wealth was so great that Exodus 1:11 says that they built treasure cities for this wealth. Let me read Exodus 1:11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them, that is the Israelites, with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Now, did Moses really know about Christ? If so, in what sense could he have suffered reproach for Christ's sake? Jesus Christ was not born for 1400 years after Moses lived. But all of his people from Abel on down to Christ knew him. Turn to John 8:56. John chapter 8 and verse 56 says that Abraham, who lived 600 years before Moses, knew Christ. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Abraham knew about Christ 600 years before Moses. Christ was known to the Old Testament saints also in the sacrifices which typified him and which typified salvation through Christ's death. In Moses' day, God had promised to send the Messiah. Deuteronomy 18 describes him as that prophet, Moses. Moses describes Christ as that prophet. He and the people of Israel believed these promises and cherished these promises, and for this belief they suffered reproach. For their worship of God, faith in the Messiah, and their expectation of him, they suffered reproach. The Egyptians were idolaters, gross idolaters. They were ignorant of the one true God. And so they despised the Israelites. They scorned and reviled them. They treated them as fanatics for their beliefs. Verse 25 of our text tells us the value that Moses placed on the reproach of Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. All these treasures would have been Moses had he become Pharaoh's successor. But he turned it down for Christ, knowing he would suffer great reproach. Esteemed here means judged. And it's actually translated judged in verse 11 of this 11th chapter of Hebrews. And this shows that it was no rash conclusion to which Moses jumped when he made the choice in our text. It was the mature consideration of his mind and his heart. In this judgment, Moses set the reproach of Christ in opposition to the treasures in Egypt. He esteemed, he judged, he considered this reproach to be high above the treasures of Egypt in value. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Christ meant infinitely more to Moses than anything he had found in Egypt. Moses considered the reproach that he would suffer for Christ to be riches, and he considered them greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He considered the scoffs and mockery made of the Israelites for expecting Messiah to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. If the reproaches of Christ are actually greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, then how great must be the riches in glory. Moses' faith preferred the reproach of Christ to the riches of Egypt. Moses chose to, and he submitted to this reproach of Christ. In verse 25 of our text, Paul says that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Moses thought the reproach of Christ had such value that he chose it over the treasures he could have had in Egypt. Moses identified himself with God's people, and when he did, he suffered the reproach of Christ. So this brings me to the third question I shall ask in relation to the reproach of Christ. What does the reproach of Christ have to do with you and me? You know, we can talk about doctrine all day in our sermons, but if we don't ever talk about what does this do for me, what does this mean that I should do today, then we really haven't profited much from it. What does the reproach of Christ have to do with you and me? As long as biblical concepts like the reproach of Christ remain just academic matters, they won't make any difference in our lives. But when these concepts are applied to our everyday conduct, they will begin to accomplish God's purpose in us. The fact is, every Christian is called to bear the reproach of Christ. It's not possible to be a true Christian without suffering the reproach of Christ. I want to say that again. That's so important. It's not possible to be a Christian without suffering the reproach of Christ. Our Savior suffered great reproach in His ministry. And Romans 8:29 says that the elect are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. In other words, we were chosen to be made like Christ in every way, including His reproach. Turn to Matthew 10, 24 and 25. Matthew 10, 24 and 25. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. And this is certainly applicable to us in this matter of the reproach of Christ. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? He said, if you're my disciple, you can expect the same kind of treatment I'm getting. Why must we suffer the reproach of Christ? Why? Because the Lord Jesus did, and the disciple is not above his master. Now turn to Luke 14, verse 27. Luke 14, 27. The Lord Jesus says here, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now the cross here, you know, some people think they wearing a cross around their neck or on their wrist means they're a Christian. No, that's not what it means to bear the cross at all. The cross is a concept. The cross speaks of suffering and shame. We Christians are to be ready to take up the cross of suffering and shame just as our Lord did, and we should not be shocked when we suffer reproach for the sake of Christ. You know, I think some people, they get all excited and they make some decision in some Arminian crusade, and first time somebody persecutes them, they're just shocked. They just can't believe it. The disciple's not above his Lord. It is not realistic to try to lead a Christian life in any day and at any place and expect to escape the reproach of Christ. Christians are called to do this. Christ's people in Moses' day and in Christ's day and in our day suffer reproach for following Christ. Paul says in Galatians 5:11 that the offense of the cross has not ceased. Christ's people today will be reproached for Christ, His Word, His church, His ordinances, His moral standards. We will suffer the reproach of Christ when we renounce all the ways of worship that are not required in the Word of God. Now let me translate that for you. When we reject this Baptist showbiz that's called worship today and preach the gospel and sing decent hymns of praise, we're going to be mocked today. We're going against the world, even though the world is in the churches. We will suffer the reproach of Christ when we forsake the principles and ways and entertainment of this wicked world. When we consistently try to practice our faith, we're going to be called heretics and divisive and bigots and fundamentalists and Calvinists and legalists, just to list some of the nicer names. We will be accused of being too serious. Have you ever been accused of, "Why, you're too serious about your religion?" We'll be accused of being too spiritual. And we'll be told, "You need to lighten up in your religion." When we preach and practice God's law and God's morality, we will be accused of being too strict. The world will say that our religion is a throwback to the Dark Ages. We are behind the times. We need to start living in the 21st century instead of the Victorian times. We once made a tour of the New England states. We had a guide who constantly mocked and ridiculed the Puritans for their morality. You know, if you read about the Puritans, they were godly people. They were moral people. And that guy just constantly ridiculed them. Well, they're the people who made this country great. One time, Lindy and I went to a religious meeting in Indianapolis. And the topic was the Christian stand in relation to homosexuals. And some people in town found out about that meeting and that topic. And when we walked out of that auditorium, there were people, those perverts were standing there spitting on us, mocking us. They had signs that called us all kinds of names. When we stand for the moral requirements of God's Word, we'll be called self-righteous. You ever been called self-righteous? We will be accused of believing that we are right and everybody else is wrong. The world will give us the cold shoulder and oppose and ignore and avoid our company. How can a Christian bear the reproach of Christ? How can he face this reproach that God's Word says the followers of Christ must suffer? Well, I believe there are three things that would be helpful here. First of all, a Christian can do so by looking to Christ and how He bore this reproach. How can we bear it? Look at our Savior and His example. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's how He bore it. Christ Jesus endured this reproach. He was able to despise, or literally to think lightly of it. He didn't let this reproach overcome Him. And if we're to handle this reproach of Christ when it falls on us, we must look at how Christ handled it and take Him as our example. in this. Our suffering, our little old piddly suffering, cannot possibly be greater than His. And He triumphed over His gloriously. Don't be discouraged by the reproach of Christ that you may be called upon to suffer. Christ has already experienced it, and He was victorious over it. How can a Christian handle the reproach of Christ? Second, he can do so by remembering that Christ takes all reproaches against His people as reproaches against Himself. You know, if they pick on you, He takes that to be picking on Him. He has such a close relationship to His people that what is done to them is seen by Him as being done to Himself. Whatever wrongs we may suffer from the ungodly because of Christ, He considers to be wrongs against Himself. Turn to the 9th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 9. I want us to look at verse 1 and then verse 4 here. The Lord Jesus told Paul that in persecuting the people of Christ, he was actually persecuting Christ Himself. Or we could say it this way, in persecuting the church, Paul was actually persecuting Christ Himself. Look at 9:1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now look at verse 4. Where the Lord says that Paul was actually persecuting him. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was persecuting the disciples. He was persecuting the churches. But the Lord said, why do you persecute me? The Lord takes the reproaches that are heaped upon us as being reproaches against Him. How can a Christian bear the reproach of Christ? Thirdly, by remembering that there is great reward for those who suffer reproach for Christ. Moses remembered this when he chose the reproach of Christ. Look back at Hebrews 11:26 again, the 26th verse of our text. Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there was a reward for being faithful to Christ. Turn to Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. The Lord Jesus is speaking of this reward here. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. If we could ask Moses what he thinks of his choice of the reproach of Christ over the treasures of Egypt, if we could ask him that now, what do you think he'd say? 80 years of Moses' life were spent suffering reproach, but God gave him support through it all. And Moses has been enjoying at least part of his reward in heaven for over 3,400 years now, while the treasures of Egypt have long since vanished away. Let us look forward to the coming of Christ and the judgment He will bring, because then we will receive our reward for bearing the reproach of Christ. I don't know who wrote the following verse, but it expresses very well what we're talking about here. Under sorrows and reproaches, let this thought our courage raise. Swiftly God's great day approaches. sighs shall then be changed to praise. We shall triumph when the world is in a blaze. In closing this message, I have a word for those of you that are unsaved. Some people don't want to become Christians because they fear suffering the reproach of Christ. They don't want to have to take up the cross and follow Him. But according to God's word, there is no crown where there is no cross. My dad used to have a little motto on his desk, said, "No cross, no crown." The reason some professing Christians cannot bear Christ's reproach is because they have no vital faith in Him anyway. They have not truly believed in Christ for salvation. So, my sinner friend, be careful to remember this. You are not called upon to carry the cross first and then be saved. You are called upon to look to the cross for salvation and then to take up the cross. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're grateful for the frankness and the honesty of your word and the reality in which you have described the Christian life to us. We pray that you would grant us faith and strength and courage to bear the reproach of Christ. Give us the values that only regeneration can give that would cause us to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of this world. We pray for any and every lost sinner that may be present in this service today. May your Holy Spirit deal with him or her and save them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.